KDUS AM 1060 Tempe Phoenix and KSLX HD2 Scottsdale Phoenix is brought to you by AC by J Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Drains.
This program is paid for by Good Vibes Media.
Coming to you from a wrong turn off Route 66. Somewhere in the Sonoran Desert, it's James Out West, featuring Ryan Rooks.
Good evening, Phoenix and friends. How we doing, ladies and gentlemen? James Out West. It is Monday, March 28th, 2022. How are you doing, Ryan Rooks?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Coming off a fun weekend.
Yeah.
Well, it was good Thursday and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Made some good picks. Saturday, Sunday, not so good on my picks, but still exciting weekend. How about you?
It was pretty good. I mean, can't complain. We had beautiful weather. Got a little bit of rain here on the way. Bunch of gusting winds. Cooled off a little bit. Kind of nice. It was like 93 degrees on Saturday, bro.
Yeah, it was nice. Actually got in a pool.
You got in your pool?
It wasn't my pool.
Okay.
Friend's pool. Heated? But it was so cold. But I worked out the day before, so I was really, really like just feeling sore. So it was perfect. I did my own little cryo therapy.
Yeah, you're crazy, bro. You're crazy. No, These pools are cold.
It lasted for about maybe 4 minutes. So I swam. It was pretty quick in and out. But it felt good. It was refreshing.
Nice.
Got me through the 93 degrees.
Was it as refreshing as that slap heard around the world last night?
Oh, my gosh. So I didn't even watch this until we...
Nobody watched it. Listen, nobody was watching the Oscars, ladies and gentlemen, yesterday until social media caught the buzz of what happened.
So Will Smith.
We'll bring it up right away. I know
Chris
it's not
Rock.
Sports, but
no. But this is crazy. Everybody's talking about it, and even thinking about this and doing my notes today, I'm just like, should we talk about this? Everybody's talking
100%
about this.
100%. It's not. Relevant.
It's not. Yeah, but
he
whatever.
Once played
and
an athlete
I actually
in the
saw
movie.
It, and I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, we have to talk about this.
Yeah, he once played an athlete in a movie, which none of that training was there because he was like up on his tippy toes. Granted, he wasn't going to punch him. I'm sure everybody. We don't even act like y'all haven't seen what we're talking about. If you've been on social media today at all, you have seen this.
If you've been anywhere,
I mean, minus the baby powder that could have hit him with. It was the most, and I know people are really upset about it. Like, oh, shame on him. They're talking about we should take away his Oscar that we gave him an hour later. Like, the deed was already done. Who cares? Sometimes, you know, people want to make I love stand-up comedy, and I think comedians can do what they want, but that doesn't give you carte blanche.
Correct.
I was telling Patrick earlier, Pat Stat Guy, I was telling him really like, yeah, you know, if I'm heckling somebody and they're coming after me, I don't have a right. Or, oh, I'm offended by your joke. I'm going to try to go find the comedian afterwards. But if he sought me out in the crowd and was like, James Out West, guess what? Bleep, 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 bleep. I may want to, you know what I mean? So the fact that happened, like, I see it both sides. Like, I mean, granted, it was in front of the world.
Right, and I see it from the side of, okay, it is a joke. We got to laugh. You know,
but
even
we also
so
know
he
is sensitive about
with
that situation.
Everything
though.
We were going through in the past few years, whether it was with presidents, whether it was with COVID, you know, the war that's going on now, there's so many people that are very particular and very opinionated.
Sure.
I don't want to be that way. At the same point, you don't talk about somebody's wife as it's a disease that she has.
Well, and I don't...
So it's one thing if you're coming at me...
Let's take that away and say that he didn't know and it was just, hey, she cut her hair, it's whatever, that's the joke. Whatever.
Correct. If that's the case, that's...
But at the same time, sometimes people are going to catch hands.
Oh, yes.
Like, well, I don't know... You know, what did Mike Tyson say? People are way too comfortable with talking trash, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're way too comfortable. Like, you know, people forget, you know, they have a plan until they get hit in the mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay... I bet you next time he'll think twice about the type of people. Like right now with how hot it is with, oh my God, I can't believe we're talking about this. Pete Davidson and Kanye. Like if you were to say something to one of them, there's a chance that they're getting up on stage and causing some shenanigans. Like we're in that age where people just think they can say whatever they want without consequences. Chris Rock caught consequences. It ain't that big of a deal.
But they just haven't realized Chris Rock is used to getting hit.
Like we know this. If you watch Everybody Hates Chris, you realize he grew up getting whooped. Yeah. He wasn't the cool kid. He wasn't the strong kid. He wasn't the basketball player. He wasn't any of those things. Will Smith knew what was going to happen. Like they say, you know, all the memes, you know, if that was The Rock. First off, The Rock wouldn't have made that joke.
No.
And secondly, if he would have made that joke, it would have been in the more wrestling Rock term, and Will Smith don't want that smoke.
No,
so bottom line is, Diddy took care of it afterwards, ladies and gentlemen. P. Diddy took care of it afterwards. I know we're,
of course,
this is the most non-sports we're going to talk, but it was, you know, it caught the world's attention. It was very hilarious. It's what everybody was talking about. I think even my mother-in-law was in her room going, "Well, Smith, just say, well, Smith." I mean, I think she knew everything was going on. It was very entertaining, and it did give the Oscars some pop because nobody cares about the Oscars.
the Oscars should write a check to Will Smith and Chris Rock.
And of course, some people think it was staged, but that was not staged.
If you see the actual full video and then Will Smith saying what he's
afterward,
talking about.
Afterward? Yeah. That is definitely not
my
staged.
My wife's name out your mouth.
Congratulations.
A little bit more explicit.
You know, congratulations. He won the Oscar for Best Actor, so.
Well, that's what's even better is that everybody kind of thought it was weird. Hey. And then, like, okay, so should we kick him off? And you know, behind stage, they're like, yeah, but he's going to win.
Yeah.
So we can't really kick him off. So just nobody saw it. Nobody's watching anyways.
And then his speech. No, by the time the speech happened, everybody was watching because they were wondering what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, yeah, bro, that's next level right there. If that's why he did it. And then he started crying. He was really teared up by he wants to be a vessel for love. That's a direct quote, a vessel for love. He just smacked a grown man's soul out of his body in front of 23 countries.
He just went on and he did
United
a deep dive.
Armed Services that, radio
and
station.
And that 14-minute gap, he did a deep dive backstage, found it within himself, and now there's love again.
Maybe Snoop was in the background with him or something.
So should I tie this all the way around with hate and bring it back to sports?
Sure.
Do you know what today is?
Monday, the 28th of March, 2022.
It's the anniversary, and it is the day of Christian Laettner.
Oh, the
30
shot.
30 years ago today.
That's why you want
Christian
to
Laettner. Duke beat Kentucky to go to the Final Four.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's when I guess.
But that was one of the greatest games, and that the way that that ended, and the way that people still look at Christian Laettner.
He's the most hated college basketball player, I think, in the history of college basketball. First off, everybody in the country at that time hated him. Most of the fans of Duke hated him, but they loved him on the court. That didn't translate. His dominance obviously didn't translate to the pros, but he had a long, long NBA career. NBA career.
Well, he should have never been on the Dream Team either, but that was...
Here's an interesting thing. So you remember it should have been Shaq. So Shaq was number one. You had Alonzo Mourning. You had Christian Laettner. All those guys ended up being, they were all number one picks at one time, within the years. They ended up all on the same team with Miami back in the day. It was really interesting to see those three as a dynamic, you know, 10 years into the league or 12 years in the league having to play together. And the stories, because you know Shaq never let him live down the fact that he was on the Dream Team versus him.
Yeah.
Instead of him, I should say.
It's just funny that for doing what you were supposed to do, people hate you so much. I mean, it's not like Pete Rose, where people still legitimately hate Pete Rose because
people need to get over it.
Right, but he made a shot. He made a great shot off of a...
Oh, but it wasn't just that. His trash talking, the way that he carried himself, he was better than
100%.
Triple collar popping, but and he's like 7 foot tall, so it's like, bro, no one can see your neckline anyways. You don't need to pop your collar.
You remember that when they would like layer the pop collar too?
That's what I'm saying. He was that guy.
No, I know. Those days, like
he was
that literally.
That guy. But he leaned into it. Listen, he was a great heel.
But
he leaned into the hate.
It's almost like all of your quarterbacks, Johnny Manziel, Baker Mayfield, you guys kind of lean into it.
No, Baker didn't lean into the hate. He folded.
Yeah, he leaned pretty.
He folded into it.
He just stayed at the stadium at night.
He can't. They've already changed the code. That's the next commercial. You'll see air. So
that's why we haven't heard from him. He's been moving.
Air.
What are you guys going to do? Okay, so we're all over the place.
Doesn't matter.
Let's get into
it. It's a feel-good Monday.
We're going to start with football anyways. So
owners' meetings.
Let's do this. Well, before we get into what we really want to talk about, what are you guys going to do with Baker Mayfield? Because we've heard the Seahawks.
They're going to trade him. If there are no trade partners, they will not cut him. They will just deactivate him. And
you think they'll cut him? They will not leave him in the locker room?
I don't think they'll cut him, and I don't think they'll leave him in the locker room. If they can't find a trade partner, I think that they can – I don't know what their contract looks like as far as if you cut him versus how much you owe, which is dead cap. He's owed almost $19 million. It's guaranteed. So do you deactivate him because he's going to do something that's going to be a distraction, and you can use that, you know, detriment to the team or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Kind of like what – you know, they did with Deshaun. They shut it down. They shut him down all of last year in Houston because, you know, just the distraction. You know, he could be that distraction as well. Because you don't want to cut him and then he ends up going to Pittsburgh.
What you need
You don't
to
want
do
to cut him and then he ends up going, you know what I mean? Like,
but you could cut him and then ultimately Deshaun doesn't play this year.
Exactly. So.
And if anything, the best spot is for Baker to stay there. Hope Deshaun doesn't play. And then you actually get a tryout to prove for other 31 teams.
See, that's what an adult would do. Not to use the term that was coming out of that whole conversation, but that's what an adult would do. It'd say, okay, I've got 1 year left.
You called me an adult.
Let's look, you know, two steps ahead here. Quit playing checkers. Start playing chess. Look at it and go, if I can ball out this year with this roster, that's awesome. And
yes,
play and
exactly.
play petty football, because that's the best Baker Mayfield is petty Baker. Chip on the shoulder Baker. You know, super excited. The world's against me, Baker.
Don't throw an interception and then
do
go tackle somebody
things,
to get a chip on your shoulder.
Literally. To do those things and then to walk off in the sunset, double birds in the sky, and go pick your destination and basically pick your contract. According
yes.
to Joe Thomas, the Browns had offered him $30 million a year. He turned it down.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that was during the season before he got hurt. Like, we're talking about a slap in the face going, oh, really? Okay, we're going to start looking for your replacement because this roster's too good to go with a mediocre quarterback. And right now, unfortunately, and I hate to say it, he's a mediocre quarterback. He has flashes of being a top five quarterback. But when you make the same mistakes that he makes over and over and over again,
yeah.
and you've got, you know, one of the best, if not the best offensive line in football, what? Got one of the best running back groups in the league, what? Odell Beckham, even though I can't stand him, was just in the Super Bowl. Jarvis Landry, bad A. Like, you have all of these guys,
and
yet couldn't get it done with the guy you have. If you think you can win now, it is your obligation to the owner, to the team, to the fans, to find the best product on the field. And that is not Baker Mayfield for the Browns. They were able to make something happen that is very controversial. Very controversial with everything.
You had to do it.
Because there was an opportunity to get a guy that most people regard as the third or fourth best quarterback in the league, then you have to take that chance if you think you can win now.
Yeah, and Baker's not doing himself any favors by complaining and doing all this, because the chances of him wanting... Well, although he does have a no trade clause, is that right?
Or
No.
You're thinking of Mr. Unlimited.
Oh, that's that.
He
yes,
had a no trade clause.
Yeah,
Deshaun had a no trade clause.
Correct. So, I mean, they could put him anywhere, and if that's the case, he needs to be pretty nice to those guys.
Do you think so? And it does no favors with any of these other GMs or things like, you're going to bring this guy now who's going to be like, he's going to be like Eeyore. Woe is me. Yeah. Oh, Baker Mayfield, just leave me in the corner.
I love how you're talking about him like this, but a year ago, it was totally different tune.
I've always said, man, I'm ride or die with the Browns, bro.
Are you
wearing orange and brown? No.
We have gone into the thick of it, going through this back and forth live.
Yeah.
And now you're
back
in.
Okay. I'm a human glass cage of emotion, what? All right, you're listening to James Out West, KDUS Phoenix.
You are.
I'm all over the place.
It's okay.
It's a Monday.
We'll get through tonight.
It's a Monday.
It's okay.
Join us on the other side. We'll get back into actual football. Somebody in here might catch a Will Smith. We'll see. Hey, there's two people, 50% chance. Anyways, KDUS 1060 AM Phoenix. See you on the other side.
Hey, Phoenix. Doug Gottlieb here. I'm bringing the best sports talk weekdays to you. 1 to 3 p.m. right here on KDUS AM 1060.
Welcome back to James Out West, featuring Ryan Rooks on KDUS 1060.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. James Out West, Ryan Rooks, Monday night. Owners, NFL owners meetings kicked off today. We had a little bit of just a steady trickle of information that came out, whether it was Hard Knocks being announced that it's going to be with the Detroit Lions following Dan Campbell, kneecap eaten, what?
Yeah, I was just going to say, are we going to
14 shots
yes.
of espresso black coffee, what?
And then cry at the end of it.
Hey, that's what happens when you ride the roller coaster of caffeine, bro. When you're on that high, you feel invincible. When you're on that low, I mean,
if
bro,
you
Tom
can
and Jerry
have a day of
cry.
All emotions where you laugh, you cry, you know, you smile,
mm-hmm.
get a little bit the stress,
mm-hmm.
a little bit angry.
Sure.
But then at the end of the day.
My wife would tell you that is me every single day.
That is you every single minute.
Bro.
You're up, you're down. We deal with it. It's okay. But we did get some pretty good information about some of either possibilities of what's coming out of the league meetings. But we did also find out as far as with the minority. Did you hear about this?
So this is interesting. I mean,
okay.
I like when you go into detail about it. I
yes,
like what it is. But on the surface, when you hear they're requiring all 32 teams to hire a female offensive assistant coach,
nope.
that's how it was written. And then you have
okay.
to dive into it. They don't have to do that. It's now that women will be considered a part of the minority hiring process, or
correct.
AKA the Rooney Rule. But
yes.
if I'm not mistaken, the Rooney Rule can no longer be applied to somebody who doesn't interview in person. If you did interview over Zoom, it doesn't qualify. It has to be an in-person interview. Now, a lot of teams, my team, always in front of things, sometimes not for the best of reasons, but have been hiring female and minority people that for years in the group as far as from coaching versus Callie Brownson being there. What? Shout out, Callie. Or look at the – I'm not going to try to say his name because I will butcher it, but he's the new GM of Pat's Minnesota Vikings. What?
Oh, yes.
You know, we've been pushing that narrative forward, and you can see the success from it. As long as they are qualified, I could care less.
Yeah, and I think this is – I like this because of what they're saying is that every single NFL team needs to have at least one offense assistant coach that is a minority. So whether – and now – so women are going to be put into this.
Yep.
So it's not just African-American. It could be any type of minority.
Yeah.
And so they opened up the door. I do like this. And the reason why behind the offensive side is because that is where they don't see a lot of offensive coordinators.
Right.
Of color. But there's a lot more coaches as far as opportunities on the offensive side.
Well,
so with that being said, I do like the way that they kind of wove it. However, it can be spun so many different ways if you see a headline like you
right.
saw, or if you see a headline that, you know, now that they're totally changing this. It's not. It's a good thing.
This is a good thing.
And it's not forcing on all 32 teams like it's a bad thing.
No. And I can tell you, like for the Browns,
the actual Rooney Rule.
During COVID, when, you know, there was all these coaches going down and having to stay away from the teams, we had, again, Coach Callie Brownson. She was a wide receivers coach one game. She was a tight ends coach one game. She was an assistant O-line coordinator one game, all within one season. Having to work with these guys on a level of going in, watching film, breaking stuff down, like, and being mentored in that capacity. So when that happened, she was ready to do those things. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's impressive so that, you know, because there's a lot of coaches that stink, plain and simple.
Yeah.
You know, they might know it, but they let their egos get in the way, where you have a lot of these people that are getting a chance. They're going to soak it all in. And with the newer generations, there's so many new first-time head coaches or younger head coaches now that are more open to hiring the best candidate versus I owe somebody a favor, or somebody once gave me a favor and now I'm paying that back because I hired their son.
Well, yeah, and it's not the old school way where you keep the same coach forever. You know, you keep the same staff forever. There are some newer, better things out there. And I think a lot of these younger coaches, just like you said, are – willing to look at the grass on the other side and see what actually is better. This is a really cool thing. I think this is going to change to where it's going to be in a positive, because you're starting and building from a foundation. You're not forcing somebody into an interview, into a head coaching, which is hard enough to be in itself, by forcing a team to interview a minority just to get it done is almost a slap in the face. I like 100%. This structure a lot better.
100%.
This is going to be successful comparative, and I like the way it's working. So, okay, so that's one of the things. Now, this kind of came out because of the NFL League meetings, but did you hear about Buffalo's getting a new stadium?
Yeah, so we're talking $1.4 billion new stadium, 30-year deal in Orchard Park.
Yeah.
So Bills Mafia will still be able to throw ridiculous stuff on the fields and throw ridiculous people through tables. What?
But they can still jump off and break tables.
That's what I'm assuming. Okay. That is what I'm assuming.
It's a nice-looking
And looking stadium. At it, you've got what? So the county will commit $250 million towards the project. The Bills
800.
And the NFL will commit $550 million. And then New York State will commit $600 million in funds.
Okay.
So it's not like it's taking the entire city of Buffalo to pay for this. You know, where they're putting these huge taxes on
and
there.
And they needed a new one.
It is the largest public commitment to NFL, to any NFL facility. Because mostly it's... I mean, so that for what that means. I mean, this basically kept them from going to Canada.
So this is the house that Allen bought or brought.
Built.
Brought.
He didn't buy it. Yeah, he might have brought it. He didn't build it. He didn't buy it.
That is
possible,
crazy, though. But
possible OT changes.
Yeah, this is where I wanted to go. So you open it up. No, go ahead. Because I think
there's
this is going to be interesting.
There's three or four different... scenarios that are out there that were presented either by the Tennessee Titans, the Buffalo Bills. I think the Vikings were
the Steelers,
in on one.
Right?
Maybe. I really don't pay attention to that team. I got a
big
smile from
big
Aaron.
Big smiles from Aaron.
But looking at it like from the standpoint of Buffalo saying that each offensive team should get the chance to touch the ball, I think that is such a – that is a society we are in. Participation trophies for everybody. Everybody's got to touch the ball to be fair. No, you have a defense. They are professionals. Get a damn stop. Hold them to a field goal. Yeah, I don't like that. Now, if you want to change it to where what Tennessee proposed, which is if you score and you're the first team that scores and you go for two and you get it, game is over. If you go for the extra point, the other team's going to get an opportunity to get the ball.
Okay.
Now another one said, what about just another 10-minute period?
So, but what if they kick a field goal? Then they automatically get another try still.
No, let's say we kick a field goal and they go down and score a touchdown, game over.
Okay.
Both teams that touch the ball. There's something will happen. It won't be this year. And I think because there's too many different, nobody's really come up with one or two. There's like three or four out there that you're not going to get 24 people, 24 owners to agree on one of these things. Because they're going to like a little bit of each one, but someone's going to have enough of an argument that's not majority rules. You got to get 24 to 32.
Well, it's really just going to depend on do they want to go after the offense attack, and that's where the money's at. You know, just like with MLB back in the day, we wanted to see the home run. Or are you going to go after the fact of do you want to keep the structure of you got to put a full team together, 22 players, and 11 of them need to be a good defense to be able to stop the ball, like you were saying, as opposed to offensive firepower and allowing Josh Allen to get that ball back to go down against Kansas City.
Absolutely. You're also looking from the other side. You know, it's about the coin flip. You know, people are it's the coin flip. In overtime, in the playoffs, 10 out of the 12 teams that have won the toss won the game. Not all of them on the first drive, mind you. That was 7 out of the 12, but 10 of the 12 have won. So how do you change that? Maybe you tie it to... What if you tied that coin flip to the first coin flip? You defer. You take the ball, and you get it in overtime if there is overtime. Like, you know, almost like basketball. You know, if you win the tip, you get the ball in the first and the fourth quarter to start.
Yeah.
The second and third is given to the team that didn't win the tip. Maybe something similar in the NFL. Like, hey, we call heads. It's heads. All right. We defer, and we get the ball in overtime.
Yeah. I think if you win the toss in the beginning of the game, it just could, like, possession, like you said, with basketball. Just then switch it over.
Yep.
That's very simple. I'm kind with that. I do like to see that both teams do have the opportunity to have the ball. However, if somebody scores and then it's like, but they only kicked a field goal and the other team
had
one huge bomb play, the Tyreek Hill now in Miami, which Tua, I guess, is going to
He's not going to get the ball there.
He's not going to throw that far. okay, we're going to have to come back to that. It's just, no, I don't like it.
I don't think there'll be a change.
Not for a while.
And the defense did their job in overtime if they held him to a field goal.
Yes.
Because you're just not to give up a touchdown. It's
defense
the
actually
touchdown.
Matters.
Yes.
And that's the whole, like, with when we talk about Super Bowl teams, it's mainly what is your defense built off of,
at the
right?
very end, yeah.
And when it comes down to the winning a game, if your defense can't stop them, I'm sorry if your offense is great. That's why you go into the offseason and you spend money on your defensive players as well.
Now, with all the movement in the NFL as far as play-by-play calling. So Thursday nights changed, Sunday nights have changed, and Monday nights have changed, right? So Thursday nights now are, we've got Al Michaels, 3-year deal with Amazon till he's 80 years old. He's still got the stuff. He's still great to listen to. He's got a great voice. He's amazing. Has never eaten a vegetable in his life. Him and Kirk Herbstreit, I'm very excited to watch them and listen to them. I think they're going to be a good combo together.
Yes.
Thursday night's great call. Sunday night's Mike Tirico. Mike Tirico and Collinsworth. Good call. Like, those are good. I'm not a big Collinsworth fan, but he's very good at what he does. And then Monday night, the majority of people, not me, but for the majority of people, Buck and Aikman. So it's like the nation on the top three games, the national games of the week, have a really good, solid list of people to be calling the games, to get the interaction, to watch the games with, so to speak. You know what I mean? So now Fox had to scramble because they lost both their top guys.
Right.
So Kevin Burkhart, shout out Josh, he and what looks like to be Greg Olson will now be the number one chair at Fox. Fox has the Super Bowl this year, which means Kevin Burkhart, shout out Josh, will be calling the Super Bowl with probably Greg Olson this year.
Oh, I don't like it.
I mean, I like Greg Olson. I mean, Kevin Burkhart's all right. We're hating on his name, but Kevin Burkhart might be the, you know, he might be the next Joe Buck. He does NASCAR. He does baseball. He does the NFL. He was going to be tied with Jay Cutler when Smoking Jay Cutler was going to come out and do the booth in Fox. And then Miami said, we'll give you a quick $10 million to come down here and play for three games. And he said, I'll do that.
And then
he went to Nashville,
course,
got divorced,
yeah.
Smoking Jay Cutler.
He's like, wait, I have to talk? No, not doing that.
It's fantastic. Wow. I can't believe we got to Jay Cutler, overtime rules, Will Smith in the show. I mean, we could not have. This is definitely not.
You've thrown in a whole lot.
I mean, we are in the mix of it, my friend. There's only so much going on.
Through your mood swings.
Oh, boy. All right. KDUS, 1060 AM Phoenix, home of the Dan Patrick Show. Rich Eisen, James Out West, Ryan Rooks, and NAU Sports Men's and Women's. See you on the side.
Welcome back to James Out West, featuring Ryan Rooks on KDUS 1060.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. James Out West, Ryan Rooks, Pat the Stat Guy, producer Aaron in the house. We've got not much on TV. It's either ladies, college, basketball, Elite Eight, Final Four, something like that.
You haven't had
UConn,
enough
UConn lately? Just won. I know they won in double overtime. Shout out to the lady. What are they called? Yeah, Lady Huskies.
Wow. It was NC State, right? They ended up being?
Yeah.
That was...
I was like, what? NC State, you know, the Wolfpack? Right? I don't know.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Okay, so let's get into a little bit more football.
Your team.
So Jimmy G, I don't think is going to go anywhere. At the beginning of free agency, I really did think that there was going to be a chance he was going to go somewhere, that Trey Lance was a little bit farther along, and he might be. We haven't really heard too much. We've seen some players talking about his arm strength, and he looks really good. However, I think if anything with Trey Lance, it's his smarts and being able to read a defense a lot faster, being able to get through his progressions. I don't think Jimmy G's going anywhere, and I think in the last, 3 years, he's taken us to two NFC championships games, one Super Bowl. If he stays healthy, which is going to be hard, I'd rather stay that. Put Trey Lance in 10, 15, maybe even 18 times, 18 plays a game throughout the year, see how he goes, build off of him. I mean, Jimmy G's coming from being under Tom Brady. I don't think there's going to be that much.
Being under Tom Brady, that was over a decade ago.
Doesn't mean you lost him.
You know what I mean? No. What I'm saying is, I'm agreeing. He's $26.95 million against the cap, and they're going to hold on to him because he will be your week one starter.
Because there's no point to trade him unless there's something that is well worth it.
He will be your week one starter.
I agree.
And I don't think you should play Trey Lance 18 plays a game. I think he needs to, the mental reps, the practice reps, being there. You want to have a package here and there's fine, but you need to let Jimmy play the season.
I would say let him play no matter what. However, throw in more for Trey Lance. You got to grow him and even have him play a couple times because you know for sure Jimmy's not going to play all 17 games.
Probably not.
That's for sure.
Now, in the division, Cardinals made a little bit of a move.
Yes.
Well, not a little move. This is a huge human being. Okay. Guard, former Giants guard, Will Hernandez, signed with the Cardinals. 2018 second-round pick, started 56 games in the last four seasons.
Okay.
So, and I think this is good for them. And the fact that they need to shore up a little bit of the line, this guy was a huge prospect coming out of college. Like I said, he's a large human being.
Well, they need that to block up that middle.
Yeah, I mean, he might be too tall. I mean.
That's what you used to say about me like 20 years ago, but it's fine.
You're
I mean, it's a good pickup. Don't get me wrong. I think one thing that we haven't really talked about, I mentioned his name, and I want to get into it a little bit more now, but Tyreek Hill going to Miami, that was huge. I think
they gave up more for Tyreek Hill basically than the Browns gave up for Deshaun Watson. They gave up more than Denver gave up for Russell Wilson.
And then they paid him, too. He wanted to get paid.
I understand that. And there's a lot of speed. There's so much speed down there. Now, this is where the conspiracy theory in me comes out and says they did all this because next year the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins will be
not Tua.
Will be Lamar Jackson.
You think so?
I think Lamar's not going to sign with Baltimore. They're going to franchise tag him, and Miami's going to have to trade future assets to get him down there. And they yes, sir.
That won't happen unless Lamar gets an actual agent.
Why do you think he has to have an agent to get something like that done? He absolutely does not have to have an agent to get something like that done.
His mom and family members ain't going to be able to do all that. They're not going to do that and make that. That's the stupidest move. He's going to be missing out on money.
Why?
How's
he going to miss out on money?
Because
Miami's willing to give him.
Cleveland just did.
Yeah, reset the market.
Reset the market, and you better be on your P's and Q's.
That's where we're starting. That's all. It doesn't have to be that complicated. 5-year, $230 million fully guaranteed. That's the starting point.
Listen here,
MVP.
You Ohio folk, some things are complicated. Everything's not just so simple. It's simple life.
No, what I'm saying is it's not. I understand it's simple. You hire a lawyer to read all over your stuff. I get that. But I think when they are just saying, you know, you really should have somebody that's more experienced in negotiating these things. Well, guess what? We're in uncharted waters now. These numbers are so different. These guys have never written contracts to go like this. They've never had to do the same things. Yes, they may understand the lingo better. Sure, because that's what they do. But the water is just as choppy for these agents as it is for him. As a matter of fact, he's got more standing power. Don't give it because, oh, the 3% that you're saving is actually costing you because you're going to have. No, it's pretty simple. That guy right there just got a five-year, $230 million guarantee, and I feel like I am just as good, if not better, than him. That's the starting point. If you're not willing to do that, somebody else will. Miami will overpay. They just proved it. That they will overpay for somebody.
Oh, with that owner, yeah.
So they would overpay for Lamar Jackson to get 3 years of his elite speed to go with those guys and to have the U.S. Olympic track alternate team in the South Beach.
It makes no sense. You want a pocket passer to throw at that speed. You don't necessarily need to unleash Lamar Jackson down there.
Who's the owner of the Miami Dolphins? Who's the owner of the Miami Dolphins? Stephen Ross, who? A Michigan grad? Enough said, bro. He will do dumb things.
See, this is where it's correlating. So I bring up Hill, and all of a sudden we're talking about Lamar Jackson in Miami, which is not going to happen. So with what I was saying about Tyreek Hill, him getting paid, having that much speed there, which is going to be unreal, but you might as well throw Deebo Samuel down there, which please don't. Actually, I need him on the 49ers. But there's so much speed down there. Tua, they're going to literally be having to take coffee breaks before Tua is able to throw it that far and get it to them. They're going to.
Now, obviously, there could be growth from Tua from this year to last year, from last year to this year. The new offense coming in came from your team. Okay. So the way that they do things, they brought in a bunch of speed in the running back position. They have five receivers. They have 19 wide receivers. They've got all these speed guys in a designed offense meant to exploit speed and gaps. They could less is more with Tua. You may not have to have him throw the ball 30 times for Tyreek Hill to be involved in the offense. Those little bubble screens that they threw in Kansas City to him, there'll be a lot of those. Jet sweeps, a lot of those. A lot of fake jet sweep off the tight and just get the ball in his hands quick and let Tyreek make a play. I don't know if you're going to get so many of these Tyreek's down the field 60 yards catching, you know, moon balls over his shoulder as it is. He caught the ball within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage and cheetah do what cheetah do.
Yeah, you'll see a lot of 18-yard, 20-yard posts going across the middle.
That's going to be the extent of that. Remember, they also have Jalen Waddle.
Yeah.
Well, he's pretty quick, too.
Yeah, I mean, no.
They could.
I think this is for Tua to have his last chance, and if he does not succeed this year or there's any question, that's the perfect reason to be out.
And then what happens the following year? Because you gave up assets, so it's not like you have first-round pick to go get yourself a quarterback.
Or you can draft a really good quarterback, depending on what comes out, and save money and have a great team. If you believe in a quarterback that strongly to be your week one starter, I mean, let's say you get a Burrow coming out.
Do you see a Burrow coming out?
Next year.
You do who?
There's quite a few quarterbacks next year that are going to be coming out. Based off of even with what everybody's saying is that this is not a quarterback year, which there's some excitement around because we just had a pro days again with these different quarterbacks. But next year is going to be a quarterback year. This might be the first year that we haven't had a quarterback in years.
Interesting.
The top 10, 15. Which... Nah, they're still going to – I still think it's going to happen.
Someone's going to make a jump to get somebody that they want, and they're going to overreach because it happens every year.
Oh, they will because it's a quarterback. I mean, this is going to be a really strong defensive year. There's a lot of secondary. There's a lot of receivers. I think that's going to be interesting is right after the draft, we're going to see who needed a couple of those top-tier receivers.
And where they
who
went.
Who needed a couple of those edge rushers.
Well, look at the team that just traded Tyreek Hill. Look at the haul they got back for him.
Yeah.
And then he went out and signed Juju Tiki Tok. And then he went and signed, who's the other receiver they just signed too? It was like a pretty big deal.
Yes, I know who you're talking about. I'll pull it up. Go ahead.
Goodness. I'm drawing a blank on him, but they're right back in the thick of things. Like when you thought, oh my goodness, they lost Tyreek Hill. And then you look at what they added as far as the two receivers that they ended up signing, like they're gonna be right. They didn't miss a step, which is wild to say that an offense with Tyreek Hill didn't lose a step.
No, I mean, They definitely lost a step.
No, maybe in the speed category. I don't think their offense is going to. There's not going to be a hiccup in their offense.
I don't know about that.
There's not going to be a hiccup in their offense, and that'll prove this year. Without Tyreek Hill in there, but they have Juju and they have somebody else, and I cannot think of his name. I know you're trying to look for him.
They did safety, the Justin Reed.
Yeah, defense got a little bit younger. I think Pat Mahomes learned how to lean on his playmakers and make the right play, not always trying to make the magnificent play, you know, the hero play, hero ball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for them to be able to do that, they still have Travis Kelce. Running game has gotten, you know, another year better. Andy Reid, they kept everybody in place. Didn't they bring back Matt Nagy on the offensive side of things? I'm pretty sure they had rehired him. He's not the offensive coordinator, obviously, but I think they rehired him. There's going to be wrinkles in there that they're going to bring. I don't think they're going to miss a step. Granted, I'm going to take a bold take and say I don't think they make the playoffs, but.
You don't think Kansas City makes playoffs?
But that division's so tough, bro.
I think they're going to be towards the bottom. I mean, we talked about this as far as
Denver will be last.
Them being in last place. No, Denver, I think, will be in one or two. I'll help you out with this pick.
One or two.
Denver, yes.
Why? Because Mr. Unlimited, who, you know, works
with the mixture
works
with their defense,
19 hours a day, 27 days a week.
Okay, it's fine. We'll wait till
this is
long term. But
okay. CJ, that's got to be for you. So I don't know another reason why he
came from Mr. Green Bay.
Hackett? Oh, you're talking about MVS.
Marquez Valdez
Scantling.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, they're gonna be beasts. He's a big boy. All right, listen to KDUS 1060 AM Phoenix. Home of the Dan Patrick Show, Rich Eisen, I think Doug Gottlieb's still on here. It's
good
all
job.
Good.
Yes.
Hey, right? I mean, I think that's right. I think that's accurate.
Yes, you're right.
I'm very excited for this next segment. I know you got a lot to bring up.
Yeah, I do, and you left it all for me. It's fine.
Yes, that's what we do.
You put me in one segment. You put me in a corner.
Me.
It's fine.
KDUS 1060 AM Phoenix.
Come back.
Welcome back to James Out West, featuring Ryan Rooks on KDUS 1060.
Good evening. How's everybody doing? Glad to be back. Final segment of the evening for us, James Out West, Ryan Rooks, Pat Stat Guy, Aaron on the other side of the glass. Basketball, NBA is winding down. Obviously, so is college basketball, which you wanted to hop into real quick.
Yeah, so a couple of really, really interesting things. And obviously, this has been a little bit of a different March Madness. The last 2 years kind of really have. We haven't had the familiar favorites or as many. We had the unbelievable Cinderella run with St. Peter's.
Yeah.
He made it the first 15 seed to make it to the Elite Eight ever. That's unreal. Then they ran up against North Carolina. And we knew real quick, within the first 5-6 minutes that game was over, and they finally met their match.
What's wild is a few weeks before the tournament, there was talks that North Carolina might not make the tournament.
Yeah, because of the way that they were looking. I mean, you look at the beginning of the season, it was not that great. And then they went in and thought that they were going to be able to write off, hey, we beat Coach K last time at Duke. We're good. Nope. It's going to be a rematch. So comes down to it, we have North Carolina, historic program coming in. We have Kansas, the most wins ever in college basketball as far as total wins. Then you have Villanova.
Kansas, really?
Mm-hmm.
How many national titles does Kansas have?
Ooh, Pat, that's you got to find that out for us.
I mean, he's going to look. I'm gonna go over under one.
What?
Over under one. I bet you they don't have one.
Okay.
One, maybe?
Yes.
They've got one.
Yes.
You think they have one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it says there's five. They have five.
Thank you.
When was the last time they got one?
Yeah, hold on. Let me check.
Okay, so we have
college basketball.
Duke, North Carolina.
Yeah.
And then we have Villanova and Kansas.
So I'll take Villanova.
So Villanova has won two in the last, 4 years? So they're about to win.
Don't ask me. I have no idea.
So I think if they win this year, it'll be three in 7 years. Three and 5 years, which will put them in a league group, I think, of only UCLA.
And that's Jay Wright.
And Kentucky.
And that's Coach Jay Wright.
Yes.
Wow.
Nobody talks about Jay Wright nearly as much as they
should. They will start when Coach K gets bounced out by the Tar Heels.
Okay, so let's get into this. And I thought that I actually had to look this up because when I heard this, I thought they were just talking about the Final Four. Do you know that Duke and North Carolina have never played in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, it kind of makes sense.
257 times since the 1920s. Okay, Coach K has been there since what, the 70s, 80s, 70s? No, it's been 40 years. So the 80s. Late 80s. Correct. Okay, now they played in the NIT tournament in 1971. So that was before Coach K. And in 1991, they were both in the Final Four together, but they were on opposite sides of the bracket, didn't end up playing each other. I think that's crazy. And on Coach K's
final run, his
tour. This is his, you know, saying goodbye. They didn't expect to be here this far. Every game is Coach K is just like, he's happy-go-lucky.
Very much so. And it does seem like he's like, you know, congratulations, boys. You guys have, you crossed the bridge. Don't be celebrating too soon here, Coach.
So
this isn't an all-time great Duke team. This
no, it's
isn't
not.
Granted, they're blue chip type talents that Duke will always get those types of players. But you know, Grant Hill's not walking in that door. Christian Laettner's not walking in that door. Just saying.
I love to you still bring that up, but what? No, I want Duke to win just for Coach K. Honestly, I want him to go out at least playing in the championship game. I do think North Carolina is the better team.
It would be sweet to see him lose to Jay Wright and Villanova.
Well, Villanova just lost, what's his name, Moore? He's out with the ACL.
Again, I couldn't tell you.
So it's going
to
be hard.
Dude, the last time I paid attention to college basketball, Vince Carter was dunking on fools in North Carolina. That's the last time.
The reason why March Madness is so amazing is that this is the worst way to figure out a national champion in any sport, the worst way to be able to come across, hey, this is the person that should, because it doesn't break it down. It could have one off night, but it's madness, and it is so much fun to watch. You could have a team that nobody knew about in St. Peter's 3 weeks ago and could care less about. This little kid with this mustache that he looks like he's 14 years old now is a point guard that everybody pretty much can recognize, at least if you saw his picture. Oh, yeah, I saw him playing.
Yep.
It's unreal. And you get recognized, especially for those players who are on kind of the fringe of the outside, maybe not getting as much notice. They got March to be able to show that off. That's awesome.
It was very cool. It was very cool.
And you didn't bet on it. Did you bet on it?
Of
anything.
Course.
Okay, so you didn't watch it.
As soon as St. Peter's won the first game, I took a plus 20 or plus 200,000 on them to win the whole thing. It was like $2 to win $800. Of course, I put money on it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
I still have money on North Carolina to win. That has no reason why I don't like Duke.
So you're not going to watch any of the Final Four?
Nah.
Okay.
You'll update me on money. That's why people tune in, Rooks, to get updated. I will be tuned in to be updated by you on who wins.
Oh, you're actually going to be next to your phone, so my text will be your updates for you?
No, I won't be. I didn't say that.
Okay. Okay,
that's
fine.
On Mondays, I will listen to you tell me what happens. Do they play next Monday? Is that the national?
Is that why you schedule these?
Is that the national? Is that the national championship game? Is next Monday?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes. Okay. It's on the 4th.
It'll be on while we're on.
On Saturday, we'll have both games. We'll have Duke, North Carolina, and the Villanova, Kansas on Saturday.
I'm more into the NBA right now. We're coming into the home
why?
Stretch.
Why? It's
what do you mean,
boring
why?
Games.
It is not boring games. What are you talking about?
Okay, there are a couple few that will matter of who's going to be in, who's going to be out, who's going to be in the playoff.
Again, participation trophies for everybody.
Yeah.
We got to have extra people.
But I think it's even more interesting now that the fact, or one of the interesting things now, is that the Lakers literally might not make the playoffs.
I don't think they're going to make
LeBron now rolling his ankle. AD's still out.
They're not playing tomorrow, neither of them.
And they both got a game. They're a game and a half ahead of San Antonio. So
that'll change. I don't think they make the playoffs. I don't think they make the play-in tournament to begin with.
It's going to be interesting.
They're 31-43.
Yeah.
12 games below 500. We're talking about they could play in the playoffs. They should be eliminated.
And they have three players that they're paying over
$30
million.
If you're more than five games under 500, you don't qualify for a play-in. And guess what? If we don't have enough teams for the play-in, that one team, they're automatically in. But no, again, participation trophies for everybody. We got to get the most out of everything. Everybody's got to get a chance. That's what this is. It's another, we got to get a chance. The Lakers are 12 games below 500, have no business even talking about the playoffs. If there wasn't this play-in, this team would have shipped half their team would have been gone already. LeBron would have shut it down, would have went to his winery in Napa. We wouldn't be talking about him. Skip wouldn't be hearing about it all the time. For real.
No, I agree.
Let's talk about the team in the division that actually matters, the Phoenix Suns, 61-14. What? Dude, they're 20 games above, like basically better than everybody else.
And they're still
They're not
rolling.
Getting love. They're not getting any sort of like national. Like, yeah, well, the Suns are supposed to do that. This is the most lackluster as far as like national. If Brooklyn was 61-14, for KD to be MVP, if the Lakers were 61-14, haha, suckers, you stink, it wouldn't happen. Shout out Allen Hood. They'd be talking about LeBron as MVP. If Dallas was 61-14, they'd be talking about Luka being MVP. But yet here we are with this team, and because they're a quote-unquote total team, no one's talking about Booker as MVP. Or he's getting a little bit of talk, but he's not in that front range with Jokic, Embiid, what? Giannis, what? Those guys. Because what? He's on a really good team, so he gets negated by the fact that he's on a good team or a great team versus those guys are quote-unquote carrying their teams.
Yeah, last year was the breakout because of how far they went, what they did with it, going all the way. Unfortunately, couldn't close it out with Milwaukee. But this year, it's like they're expected. And we've also known, I know that there's a lot of passionate, I would say more so Suns than Cardinals, but there's a lot of fair weather fans from all over the country that end up living here. So there's not as much where people talk about it. It's not like you said, the LAs, the New Yorks, where Miami, even Dallas, where now you have a very loudmouth owner and an amazing player in Luka. Book just does not get the rep or like any of the awards that he should deserve. And he probably won't. He finally got paid. He finally got good people around him. It took quite a few years. But yeah, they're just almost like the San Antonio Spurs were for 20 years. They're good.
I'll give you one of your goofball stats that you like that are, this is really interesting though. So Devin Booker, 25-5-5 and a 80% free thrower, butter. Okay. 10th. There's only been 10 seasons ever where someone's done that. Eight of the 9-1 MVP.
Yeah.
He's the leading scorer of the best team.
He's not even in the top three of the MVP race. Right?
It's 28-5-7 on 50-40 and 90% without CP3. They went 8-3 without him. 24-5 in the clutch, 57 shots out of that, 41%. I mean, he's just, all he does is dagger. He's Mr. Mid-range.
So you think Booker is more deserving than Embiid and Jokic?
No.
Okay.
I'm just making the argument that there should be an argument.
Okay.
Embiid, no. I think it's going to be back-to-back Jokic.
Oh, you do? Okay,
I do think Jokic is going to win.
Because last I saw, Embiid was favoring.
What he is doing, Jokic tonight, 26-19-11 in a triple-double that they had to have to continue to keep pace.
Okay. I mean, but did you see him in the Suns game, what was it, a week or two ago?
Yeah.
And did not look that great until the very end when the Suns put up 140 points.
Dude, he's the first 25-13-6 plus season ever.
He's the only player in top 10 point guard, for real.
He is legit. Like, he is so legit. He is giving guys like, he's given every chubby white kid hope that if they just happen to get a growth spurt and you're really talented fundamentally, you can be a dominant player in the NBA.
And if you look at his rookie and sophomore season, he was chunky. Like, I mean, he's not cutting anyway, but if you talk to the people that are surround him, they say he's probably in the best shape than anybody else in the league.
He's got stamina.
If you look at him, he does not like huff and puff. Look at every other big man.
Yep.
I do say he is up there, but I don't know if he's going to win it over Embiid. I think
you're going to have a 10 Embiid.
Just because of the way that, you know how we've always said that they didn't give it to LeBron because even though LeBron was the best player, he's not the MVP. Embiid has been on that cusp, that verge. I think he's going to get it. They're going to give it to him this year.
I mean, I could see it. I hope not. I hope they penalize the 76ers for the dumpster fire that's been their team. James Harden, already it's blowing up. It's already blowing up. The
even
beard
so.
Doing what the beard does. Ladies and gentlemen, next week, Monday night, James Out West, Ryan Rooks, Pat the Stack Guy, Aaron on the other side. Can't wait to see you. Thank you for listening in. KDUS Phoenix.
Come back. One love.